I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The moment that you stepped into my room, you took my breath away, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
I'm hungry.
Barcelona. What a beautiful horizon, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk about the FA Cup and the Premier League in a bit, but my giddy aunt.
Barcelona. That's not what I asked for. I asked for Freddie Mercury.
Luke spent about half an hour explaining to me he wanted Freddie Mercury Barcelona, and I argued that that song came out in 1991.
Guys, let's talk about it. Well, it's for the Olympics in 92. Let's talk about hashtag audio signposts, guys.
Yeah.
We need to get them down.
Barcelona. Is this going as you'd planned, Luke?
I asked him about 7:15 for this. It's now almost 7:10.
I love how he said, you took half an hour to explain it. He took half an hour to get that. The wrong tune.
I didn't take half an hour. I just said, can we get Freddie Mercury Barcelona?
It was the only system.
I didn't hear him again for the next 20 minutes. Anyway.
Most of our listeners are under 30. They don't know who Freddie Mercury is, I'm afraid.
Okay. I think we should probably respect them more than that. I think they probably know who Freddie Mercury is.
They'd probably get confused with other notable 80s moustaches.
Also, as well, the start of that song, you don't need to know what it is.
Pete's got a point, because no one knows anything that happened before exactly when they were born.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Who's Queen Victoria?
I agree with that.
Beats me.
That's just a noise to me.
You don't study Freddie Mercury in history class, do you?
That's a fair point.
That is a very fair point.
I mean, you should do.
He's done me there.
So everyone else who wanted Freddie Mercury instead of George Ezra, in your faces.
Yeah.
George Ezra is a popular young man singing songs about his Interrail.
And very much a part of the schedule in history lessons. There he is again.
If you want a hotkey, I'll give you an hotkey.
Have you got anything for Paris? Spare them a thought.
No, nothing.
All right, well, we can't do that because it'll take half an hour. 6-1. I mean, yeah. We will come to...
Can I open this whole 6-1 thing by saying that I heard that Mark McGee was fuming about the official?
Well, funny you say that. The Madrid press, perhaps the only press in the world, were questioning the referee after it. Well, they might have scored 6 goals and had one of the greatest comebacks in the history of...
The greatest comeback in history.
In the Champions League.
Don't
get Pete started Tiote Arsenal 4-4.
The strange thing is that it feels like that was getting through to a final almost, doesn't it? It feels weird that it's only the last 16 where that has happened, because it was such an incredible game. We're surely not going to see a game as good as that again in the Champions League this season, or possibly ever.
I think they're going to go out 1-0 on aggregate in the next round.
It must be so annoying for PSG fans, because they just didn't close down that dink for the final goal.
Yeah, but they
had two players that they could have closed down.
It was never going to happen. Listen, there is a completely unwritten rule of football
inevitability
at every level. Yeah. I'll tell you when it started last night. It started when, a couple of minutes in, obviously Barcelona scored the first goal after a few minutes. The key moment for me, the key observation for me, was Javier Mascherano, centre back, was about 25 yards from the PSG goal as the outlet for people knocking the ball back. Mascherano!
Yeah.
And I was like, they fancy
camped
it.
Out.
That's it.
Camped out in the day.
But that's it, isn't it? I mean, Marcus and I were talking yesterday about the, as we were watching it, about the psychology of it. Like, how is Paris Saint-Germain, do you set up for that game, especially when you concede so early on? I love what Luis Enrique said before the game. It was effectively, if a team can score four against us, then we can score six against them. Mm. And in normal, for any other team, that would make absolutely no sense. Mm. The logic there would be completely ridiculous. But because it's Barcelona, you think, that's kind of true.
Well, he even said it in, we can score six in 95 minutes.
And it was.
Yeah. I mean, close your players down in the final 10 minutes.
Yeah, but don't you understand?
And, yeah.
They've conceded five goals and Barcelona
chances.
Are on the attack. Yeah. They've missed a few very, very good chances and Neymar's got the ball. You don't sort of think, right, lads, heads on, let's go back.
You are absolutely
run towards the player who's got the ball.
You're praying.
Out of interest. Exactly how mentally robust do you think like Norwegian beings are? Because they're absolutely knackered. Right? They're knackered. Yeah. They're mentally shot to pieces. They probably, like, what, if you said to them, if one of them looked down and tried to do their shoelace up, they probably wouldn't be able to do it. They're that mentally shot.
But could they not have used the rather soft nature of the penalty, if indeed it was a penalty?
That was a bit naughty.
Yeah, it was a bit naughty. Not from Suarez, because we've seen that before. It was naughty from the referee, in my humble opinion.
I want to talk about that, because we've spoken many times before about what's known as viveza criolla, which is that phrase they have in South America, which means to con the referee, to game the game itself, and how they see that as a good thing. That was an incredible example of it, because Suarez has just been booked for diving, right?
He does it again.
Doubling
the referee's
down.
Going, no way.
I can't send him off for diving twice.
Ballsy thing to
so
do.
It must be a penalty.
It's a very ballsy thing to do.
I would have lost a plot of ours, Marquinhos.
Oh,
he did very well to keep his cool. I mean, again, because he was mentally shot to death.
I think that was kind of the big, when the penalty award, there weren't that many players going absolutely crazy, which there should be, really, but they just...
Ten bookers in the game.
When it was 5-1, there was a couple of challenges. I think Messi had the ball. Was it Verratti or somebody? He was just like, oh, sod it. We've got to reduce to kicking them up in the air.
At 3-1 as well, it was just... Barca looked... because of the way they play, they looked so ponderous. You know, when you're that far behind, you need to score three goals. You are... Ball's in the box! Yeah. Ball's in the box! But they just went about...
Cavani scored, that was it.
Stadium sank.
Well, Jonathan Wilson tweeted, well, the away goals killed that tie. And it's like...
Yeah, I mean, he hates away goals. as I know a lot of people do. But they came roaring back. What I thought the best comment after the game was north of the border. Brendan Rodgers, ahead of the Old Firm Derby on the weekend, said...
Of course, ask him, yeah.
Barcelona's 7-0, sort of Celtic 7-0 loss against Barcelona doesn't look so bad now.
Chipping off. Ahead of the Old Firm.
He said to the journalists, he said, if they can score six against PSG, then maybe it isn't as embarrassing as some of you guys said it was with us back then.
Not that it bothers me. Yeah. I'm over it.
People would have forgotten about that by now. Why bring it up again? Did you say anything about St Mirren?
I don't... Well, they won 6-1. We beat St Mirren 4-1, so we know what it is to hammer teams.
How many of those PSG players do you think are up for going away to Lorient the weekend now? But they're going away to Lorient, bottom of the league at the weekend.
I was going to say, it's good news for Nice and Monaco.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's it for now for PSG's season.
Yeah. Unai Emery looked just broken, and
you would understand.
And he's had such a good time there as well, but this is such a huge black mark against him. One of the most amazing stats that came out from it, in that period where Barcelona scored those three goals, didn't PSG complete four passes, three of which were from the kickoff, so they effectively touched the ball
one pass that wasn't a kickoff in the last 10 minutes of the game. I read that earlier and I found it quite difficult to actually get my head around so Barcelona didn't give the ball away. I was presuming they're not they can't be counting like tackles and attempted tackles and stuff like that, but one completed pass in 10 minutes is incredible in any game in any situation.
It's amazing, but it's like the absolute vintage Barcelona that we've not really seen as much as often, because they've not had to turn it on quite so dramatically, but the way they just strangled the game, that proper boa constrictor style that they have, again, we were saying yesterday, weren't they, like, you could tell Barcelona had a chance to actually turn this around, because you looked at that game, a PSG could have been anyone. They could have been Levante, could have been they could have been like St Mirren, they could have been Arsenal,
on that, Jim, is it fair to say that Arsenal are differing fortunes in the Champions League to Barcelona when trying to overcome a big first leg deficit?
Yeah, we got mugged off gigantically,
but you've got a chance against Lincoln.
We do.
In the FA Cup.
Well, we bounce back against Sutton.
Right.
I can't believe you've gone past the Barcelona thing and not mentioned Ronald Koeman's Twitter.
Yeah, people have been looking forward to this, Mark. Do you know what he said?
Of course
you
I do.
Yourself, though, you
He's made something. Kissy faces at them.
No, he hasn't. He says, congratulations to FC Barcelona. They punished the fear of Paris.
Yeah, well, it's sort of kissy
faces,
isn't
it? Did, didn't
Thumbs
they?
Up emoji.
It was a fascinating game. And also, the Dortmund game was 4-0, and they'd lost the first leg 1-0. And I just love the way the Champions League throws up these mad games where home advantage is so massive, again, unless unless you're Arsenal. Like, just to lose that first game and then win 4-0. I love it.
Mm. It's the magic of the Champions League, Jim.
It is.
From the magic of the Champions League to the magic of the FA Cup, everybody.
Second link. Second attempt.
You have to drive magic, it back. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a Ter Stegen foul in the centre circle. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start the move off somewhere.
There's an illness in the Arsenal camp. Well,
and it's a lack of success.
The form flu.
They've got successophobia.
Well,
that's not an illness. Is that an illness?
It's a phobia.
Yeah.
Well, we should say that the Imps won 4-0 midweek on the road, warming up nicely for the big one.
They are the form
against
going into this.
Against Arsenal and the Emirates. Yeah, they were chanting, "Arsene Wenger, we're coming for you," which will please some sections of the Arsenal crowd, I'm sure.
Terrifying.
Although, unfortunately for them, Lee Angol, who scored a hat-trick, he's cup-tied, so Arsenal fans will be quite relieved that he won't be playing.
Yeah, he was a Spurs youth player as well.
Yeah, which is annoying because, you know, a Spurs youth player would definitely get the win for against Arsenal.
Didn't the manager describe as an iPhone 7 Angol?
He did, yeah.
So he can do a bit of everything.
Because he's waterproof.
Yeah.
Is he angling for an iPhone 7, do you reckon?
Yeah.
he can do everything better than this Google Pixel I've got.
Yeah. I'm in the spotlight. I'm as much as I can.
There's not a headphone jack on the boy. He's like a lifetime supply of Fanta, what?
Yeah.
He's very brave. Like Johnny Ives' decision to remove the headphone part on the iPhone 7.
I love it. I actually love it. The managing director of Lincoln, Kevin Cook, he is loving life at the moment. He said, "We are dreaming of Wembley and we're only one game away. All we have to do now is beat Arsenal and we're there. Come on, mate."
Another dig.
All we have to do is go away to Arsenal and win and then we're in the semi-final.
I don't think that Lincoln will win, but I do also think that if you were going to go to the Emirates at any point in the last 10 years as a non-league team, you'd probably pick this weekend. I mean, you probably wouldn't pick now.
All you do is just sit back and wait for Arsenal to melt down on their own accord, surely.
But do you think if it's, for example, 0-0 after, say, half an hour, do you think that the atmosphere could turn pretty poisonous?
That's an interesting one, because often it does, but you would think against the sort of non-league team that, you know, the fans would maybe be a little more patient, because, like, you know, the performance against Sutton, it wasn't like, let's go out there and smash them 7-0 because we're so much better than them. It was like, let's put in a professional performance and just, you know, get the job done. And I imagine it will be the same.
Will he play a full strength side?
Yeah, I
was looking at matchups for this game because I was trying to think of where the weaknesses are in teams. And with this situation, it's so much more difficult because the non-league is so far away from the top of the Premier League.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, obviously Bradley Wood at right back is a decent player and he played well against Burnley. The two centre-backs did well. Raggett scored the goal and Waterfall set him up. But then... And then you think about Matt Reed, who can bully centre-backs up front. And as far as I'm aware, Arsenal played Holding and Mustafi at centre-back for the last game, and the game before against Southampton, I think, or when they played Southampton and beat them 5-0. Could Matt Reed bully them? I think probably not, actually. They're both quite robust players. Yeah. So it's very difficult to make an argument that Lincoln could do anything here, apart from perhaps frustrate them, turn the crowd against them. Mm. It's such a febrile atmosphere at Arsenal at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that might really play into their hands. But, I mean...
It's a very different game.
It would be absolutely staggering if anything unforgettable happened in this game.
I just want to see one banner, like a Wenger out banner, that I've seen a couple of times where a guy has ordered a vinyl Wenger out, it's time to go, Wenger blah 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 banner. And he's got those little kind of brass circles in the corners, as if he was going to like attach it to something. But he's clearly ordered it too small, so he's forced to hold it. And I've seen this guy turn up a couple of times, and I want him to turn up, as I hate him. And I want to see him fall down the stairs.
Yeah. Oh. Peter.
What? Peter Donaldson.
You don't know the guy. You don't even know who I'm talking about.
That doesn't mean we should wish that he falls down a flight of stairs.
I only care about people I know.
Lincoln, get your dimensions right, guys.
Lincoln are a colossal 28-1 with Bet365 to beat Arsenal in 90 minutes this weekend. So £10 will return £290, including
the
stake.
That is well worth a flatter.
Got to put it in
there.
Got to put it in there.
Well worth it, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It would be absolutely sensational. Jim,
after what we saw last night...
You'd have to laugh. You'd have to laugh.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be happy for Lincoln because the story's such a romantic one. Obviously, it would be humiliating and embarrassing, but that sort of just brushes off me. And I'm only kind of half joking about that.
If Lincoln win at the Emirates, they can win it.
Well, because the rest of the ties are in neutral territory.
Indeed.
You know? Speaking of which, Middlesbrough are home to Manchester City. Poor result for Man City at home to Stoke midweek.
Yeah.
The rest of the couple of players, didn't they?
They did. They failed to score for the first time in all comps at home under Pep.
Yeah, which actually, you know, shows you quite, you know, some of the positives of what Guardiola's done so far at City, that it's taken them this long to not score.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but they'll be strong favourites against Middlesbrough.
Oh, absolutely.
Manchester City that statistic. Okay, it's at home, they're away to Borough, but they often score. Middlesbrough don't.
No, but Middlesbrough do score in the FA Cup. They've scored seven
against
in their three
Oxford.
Games. They've scored seven in their three games.
All
in
right.
So it's over two a game. If you look at, I think they've only scored 19 in the Premier League. So, I mean, their record
in the FA
Cup.
They love Wembley.
I'm not suggesting that it means an awful lot, because going to the City will be a tough ask for them, but they do score a bit in the FA Cup. But City rested Silva and Sterling on Wednesday night, but I couldn't really work out whether that was for this game or for
Monaco.
Yeah.
Silva made a big impact when he came on as well. Mm. If they were going to win it, it was through him, I think. And Leroy Sané had another good game. He's looked very, very impressive, isn't he? Phil Bardsley did a very good bit of defending to sort of deny him the space to finish a sort of tap in effectively late on. But
don't
I think Sané, sorry Luke, might,
sorry mate, it's your fault,
might be in the in the running for Young Player of the Year at the moment, if you keep his form up.
I meant that's my fault, not your fault.
I assume so.
That's your fault. I agree with that, but what I want to say, with clubs at the very top level, Man City, Chelsea, PSG or whatever,
Lincoln,
it's very hard to know. It's very hard to know who their strongest sort of team is anyway. It's more of a case of what the particular manager at that time prefers for that particular challenge. You know, Man City, we've talked about before, they can have those three players behind. It used to be Aguero, but now it looks like when he's fit it's Jesus. Different three behind the striker, just depending on the challenge that's in front of them. So it's hard to predict who they're going to pick for this game, but clearly they're a much better side.
The best players are so flexible because they're used to playing slightly different roles at international level sometimes.
As well, yeah.
International managers generally.
What are they going to go for, Bravo or Caballero in goal?
Well, do you know what Willie Caballero's full name is? First name is?
No.
It's Wilfredo.
Nice.
I like that.
Wilfredo Caballero.
I think a lot of people might have thought it was William.
I found out that Xavi Alonso's got a brother called John Alonso, who's a referee. I didn't know that at all.
Okay.
That's a satisfying name.
John Alonso. For Alan Valderrama.
Yeah. Caballero's kept one more clean sheet for Man City this season than Bravo, despite playing eight games fewer.
I personally think he's all round a better goalkeeper. I prefer him.
I don't think it's a controversial opinion.
No.
I suppose it is, because Bravo is the number one. And he was Barcelona keeper last season.
Wasn't a dig, but I mean, like, you know, this season it's just been a disaster, isn't it? Sometimes players simply don't work out, and I think at this point of the season we can say that about Bravo.
Bravo's heard the words, "It's your fault," before.
Yeah, of course.
Your fault, mate.
I feel a bit sorry for Middlesbrough having to go to the Etihad, because they're having a lovely time in the FA Cup. It's like a real departure for them. Scoring goals, winning games. It's probably going to come to an end this weekend, I think. They're 9-1 with Bet365 to win this run 90 minutes. So £10 returns £100, a oneer, including stake.
Yeah, but it is at Middlesbrough, though. It's not at Manchester City.
Oh, sorry. I'm having an absolute mare. It is at Middlesbrough. You're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Apologies.
So
I still don't think they'll win.
They won't want to go to the Shell Net.
They won't want to go to Ayresom Park.
But whatever happens, they can have a night out in Yarm after.
They can.
And that's the main thing.
Tall Trees. Tall Trees Nightclub.
Talk to us about Yarm, Pete.
I've only been to Tall Trees Nightclub. I did a wee next to Gary Pallister.
There we go. He never lets you down, Dawson, does he?
And Gary Pallister.
Frequently.
Gary Pallister, if you remember, was it Man United TV with that caller?
Oh yeah,
you would have seen firsthand the size of his appendage.
Yeah.
Which apparently
wasn't that Hayley McQueen doing that?
Possibly.
She sort of went, no.
She wasn't doing it. She was the presenter.
Oh no, how dare you? Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't. She didn't turn to Gary Pallister and went, "Oh, you got a big package, Gary."
Why have you changed the voice so dramatically?
I don't know.
And where was she from in the first place?
Gary.
Oh, I'm a I'm from everywhere.
That is the best "oh no" in football broadcasting. Sync. Quickly, Kevin, will he score? Yes. Oh, yeah. No!
Yeah. Oh, dear. Are we ready to talk about Spurs Millwall?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a big one. The Lions are unbeaten in 17 going into this one.
Can I introduce a subtext?
Yeah.
Harry Kane spent the second half of a season on loan at Millwall, did very well.
He said that Millwall helped him become the player he is today.
I read the article. I bloody enjoyed it. Very interesting. Because what he was saying, which I found fascinating, was that for him it was the first time he played in senior football where the games actually meant something, where he realised the repercussions of not performing, not doing well, perhaps not scoring goals. And I think he ended up being Young Player of the Year there, didn't he, that season? So it's fascinating to see. So I think he'd probably get a good reception for the Millwall fans, won't he?
It's very impressive.
The weekend.
Millwall is his, Kane's mill was like Beckham's Preston North End. Beckham was only there for a short period of time.
Kane's obviously a more modern player, so he did a few more loans. I think he was at Leicester for a while as well. But do you know what the article reminded me of? It reminded me, the way they described him, because they talked to the guy who was assistant manager at Millwall at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think he still is. He may well be, but I'm not sure. And the way he described Kane was exactly the way I've seen Ian Wright described, where Ian Wright would just have to be dragged off the training ground. Yeah. And I think Kenny Jackett was the manager at the time at Millwall, and I think they managed to get the loan because Kenny Jackett is friends with Tim Sherwood, who was involved with the youth team at the time at Spurs. And he said that apparently Kenny Jackett would be saying to the assistant manager, get him off the training pitch. He's going to tear his quad or something. He's going to tear get him off the training pitch. And Kenny just didn't want the guy. So that's the commitment.
Ian Wright couldn't believe his luck when he made it professional. He was just like, all this time. He said everyone went home and he was there with all the footballs out and there's goals and practising and all this kind of stuff. And as you say, Harry Kane is, well, from what we can tell with his career, is the epitome of hard work and getting there.
Yeah.
Because I think it was Pochettino in charge when Kane broke through. I think I'm right in saying his predecessor, perhaps, Vish Boas. But somebody said with Kane, because he was a local lad and all the fans were saying, we want to see him play. And the people who were in front of Kane, the players in front of Kane, weren't really delivering. And he was sort of saying, well, Kane is doing the right, he's doing the right things. And then eventually broke through, of course. And everyone's like, there you go, you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's flourishing, So
I think Spurs need to be careful against Millwall because obviously we've seen that a bit of a scare against Wickham, didn't they? Millwall were in great form and Neil Harris was doing a good job there. They're sixth in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're not an awful lot away from the automatic promotion places and they're unbeaten in the last 10.
But the talk is that Pochettino is going to name a strong team.
I think he will.
By this point, he's
well, this is their best chance
of
silver.
We do see this now. When a big team or a perceived big team gets to quarterfinals of the FA Cup, they do start to name stronger teams.
But especially as well, they're at home to Millwall now. They're unbeaten in 17. Actually, they won 2-1 on the weekend.
17 games now, is it?
Millwall.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow,
and the 2-1 win against MK Dons on the weekend was the first goal they'd conceded in 10 games.
What does that say to the fringe players though that have got you that far?
We'll
chuck. You got us this far. We'll chuck someone else in.
Well, the club wants to win trophies, and I think to be fair, from what I can remember, the players that Spurs used against Wickham,
they weren't
been a part of the first team score anyway. Mm. I mean, a lot of these players are at least on the bench. Players like Josh Onema, he'd been around.
Son scored as well. He's around the side.
Exactly. So it wasn't like they were playing nobodies. It wasn't like they were doing what, if you allow me, what Liverpool did a couple of times where they struggled to, in the earlier rounds of the FA Cup. They were playing players that certainly me as a passing Liverpool observer had never really heard of. I don't think you could say Spurs were doing that at any point.
Yeah, but it could be a blockbuster semi-final lineup. I mean, if Spurs, Spurs, Man City and Arsenal are three pretty strong favourites there. Mm. If they do get through, which not necessarily they will, play Chelsea or Manchester United.
I thought that'd be really boring.
It would be. I mean, to a Manchester derby and a North London derby might
give you a bit of subtext I'm after.
You'd rather Lincoln in there.
Yeah, you would.
Nice to have a Lincoln in there.
For Harry Kane to score at any time with Bet365, it's 4-9. So £10 on that will return £14.44, including stake. Could score against the club he spent the first part of 2012 on loan at.
Will he celebrate?
Will
he celebrate? We're going to talk the last FA Cup tie and some Premier League after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody. Right then, Chelsea versus Manchester United. It is the big tie of the round, really, in terms of quality, Jimbo. And Chelsea will be favourites. They're at home, and Manchester United are without Ibrahimovic.
They are. And Chelsea beat them 4-0 at home earlier in the season, didn't they? So tabloid reports are saying that the players are, they want to do it again because they want to rub everything in Mourinho's face.
They want to win again.
They want to win well.
Yeah.
My goodness, how professional of them.
But Zlatan's a big miss. You would think it'd be Rashford going in there to replace him. I don't really see what other option that.
I think Zlatan. I'll set myself up for a faller because it's happening right now. I think Zlatan's going to smash the absolute end out of the Europa League in punishment to the universe for banning him.
What's Mings going to do?
Nothing. I think. Do you want me to
talk
about?
He's banned as well.
I wouldn't mind because we feel quite strongly about this. Because Bournemouth have said, they've written and said there was no proof that it was intentional.
Well, my beef with this Tyrone Mings 5-game ban thing is that. to me, there's either two. There's two outcomes. There's two sort of ways you can look at it with the FA from the FA's point of view. One is you think he meant to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And the other is you didn't think he meant to do it. Mm. And if he didn't mean to do it, you can't really punish him because coming together to happen all the time. Yeah. It wasn't particularly dangerous in it with what he did. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was doing being reckless, and so he couldn't have foreseen it happen, but it was going to happen because he was being reckless. Yes. It wasn't any of those things. So they decided they thought he meant to do it. If you think that's the case, don't ban him for five games. Ban him for the season. He stamped on another man's head.
Yeah.
Moussa Dembélé got 6 games for an eye gouge. You know,
the Canio was 11 for pushing a ref.
Right. So that's the sort of. But the reason they haven't done that is because they don't know for sure, and they're not convinced themselves that he did mean to do it, and he's probably quite a nice chap, and all this other stuff, and so they give him a 5-game ban, which to me is, as you would say, Marcus, like an old man caught between two bus stops.
Yeah.
Neither one thing or the other.
Fudge.
And so we've got this whole ridiculous situation where the FA just show completely no leadership at all because they don't have the stones to make an example of a man who stamped on another man's head, despite saying they think he did it because they charged him with violent conduct.
Well, and I tell you,
Matt,
I don't think they'd do the same to Zlatan. I think there'd be more due process. I think
Zlatan's an open and shut case, wouldn't it?
So if it was the reverse situation, I just think there'd be too much of an uproar to ban him for 5 matches.
Right, so the profile of the players taken into account
massively,
as well.
Massively.
Yeah. I've got got to be a little bit careful, but do you not think it's because...
Why? Are you in the pockets of big FA?
Much bigger than that.
Hashtag fey news.
Do you not think Ibrahimovic, because he did that on Mings, he gets the ban, if they are then seen to not take any action with Mings or over what he did?
No, I don't think so.
You can look at it and go, this is what we think happened. There we go.
I don't think that's right, but it's because on a big player like Ibrahimovic, and it's concerning a big club like Manchester United, do you think the FA are thinking, we better just...
Well, possibly, but I think Zlatan can have the perception that he had his head stamped on, therefore elbow someone, but it doesn't mean that's the case.
No, I'm not talking about retribution, I'm talking about the fact that if he banned Ibrahimovic and didn't do anything to Mings,
there would be uproar about that.
An uproar from a very powerful club.
But that's an easy defensible position because you can say, well, look, we judge each case in its own merits. It wasn't part of the same exact incident, so we don't think this happened. Mings did this on purpose. We think Zlatan absolutely did this on purpose. And if you don't like that, watch the tape because it looks exactly like that.
I agree with you. I'm just saying,
defend the position.
No, I'm not defending. I'm saying that you're saying they're mealy mouth, and I'm saying, well, yeah, and they might even be a little bit more feeble if indeed they were thinking that.
Also, if they gave him 15 games or whatever, there would be uproar about it. There'd be outrage from people saying that he didn't mean it and it's a disgrace. There's going to be uproar in a situation like this, whatever happens. The FA just have to accept that and acknowledge
that's part of their role.
Part of what they're for, exactly.
I mean, from my point of view, I've seen what I've seen. Admittedly, I don't know the two individuals involved, but I've seen the tape, which is presumably what the FA are looking at because they don't particularly intimately know either of the players either. To me, there's no punishment warranted. I don't think there should be a punishment at all. But if they decided that it's violent conduct and they also come out and said 3 games isn't going to be sufficient, to me that points towards you saying a guy did it on purpose. And if a guy stamps on a guy's head on purpose, he should be banned for longer than that.
Like when Eric Cana fell in the crowd.
Yeah, he fell.
When that guy
chucked his chest right on Eric Cana's studs.
Yeah. Well, he was screaming so loud that when he sort of went for breath, it actually pulled Cantona towards him.
They're sucking Cantona in.
I think more likely he was such a huge bellend that his own gravitational pull. Yeah, that's more likely.
I think we're all agreed on that. Yeah. Very much so. But Manchester United, they're obviously away in Russia this week for the Europa League. Hasn't been played at the time of recording.
I've heard Rostov as a place can be very difficult to get to.
Is that right?
So I mean,
advice, Luke.
Yeah,
be on time for your planes.
Yeah, plan your journey well in advance. Yeah. Make all the connections you need to make.
Give yourself a bit of wiggle room. Yeah. If a taxi's late or if there's a lot of traffic.
Worst case scenario, Pete, you're going to find yourself knocking about in an airport for hours.
They do actually tell you, don't they?
Yeah,
when you book the flight, they will send you little emails explaining that you need to be there well in advance.
Just the process involved. I mean, Pete, you've missed a flight. You know,
I've missed one flight because I forgot my passport. But what I would say is check what you're carrying with you. You know, you're not allowed flammables. You're not allowed weaponry. You're not allowed to be a bell end. Just all the major things. Just make sure you're not carrying any of those things.
That's why you missed the flight, isn't it? Mourinho was very unhappy with UEFA because they've laughed at his complaint about the state of the pitch, apparently.
Well, speaking of Mourinho, do you know it's 13 days...
Oh, I like that little whisper there.
I like that.
Speaking of Mourinho.
It just reminded me. It's 13 days today.
Little secret between us and the listeners.
Shall I?
Yeah.
13 years today that Mourinho's Porto knocked out Manchester United in the Champions League, right? At Old Trafford with a 1-1 draw, last-minute goal, for very late goal from Costinha after his goal scored. And there was a... I can't can't remember who it was, but someone put a Twitter video up on it, and I watched it. And I'll tell you something now, it's very easy to forget this, because we're all used to Mourinho now, and he bores and all that stuff, and whatever you think about him, some people are just bored of him, and I get that. But when he walks out the tunnel at Old Trafford, he looks like the coolest manager to ever live. Oh, yeah. He looks like a manager being played in a Hollywood movie, in a football like Hollywood movie, and he's just so cool. It's the most brooding
so
guy.
So much charisma.
It's so easy. It reminded me so instantly of why the broadsheet and mainstream press just fell in love with Mourinho in the first instance. It's fantastic to see.
But if you watch the video on YouTube of him translating for the late great
Bobby Robson.
Yeah. Again, he's just sat back looking like the coolest Mother Hubbard in town, and that was at Barcelona. Mm. Lest we forget.
True. But yeah, so didn't he say that the delegate from the UEFA laughed in his face?
He did, that's what he said, yeah. But better news for Manchester United, Rostov will apparently hand out red blankets to the Man United fans as a gesture of goodwill.
That's nice.
When they're at the away end.
Yeah, because the pitch looks a bit, I mean, we shouldn't really be talking about this because the game's happening right now, I think, but the pitch is a right old state, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it looks difficult.
But away to Chelsea in the next round of the Cup, that is a very, very tall order indeed.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Chelsea look, I mean, Conte just got them dry, he's just driven them on, hasn't he? They look so driven under him, and 13-5 at Bet365 for this game to be all square at full time. So back in the draw to the tune of £10, return £36, including stake.
Yeah.
Did you hear Mourinho's dig this week saying that Chelsea are only in such good form because they've had it easy because they're not in Europe? It's like, that's your fault.
Yeah.
It's not your best work. Yeah. Dig wise.
I love it if he just went, and you're welcome for that.
Could be a double in Conte's first season. Ancelotti.
I'd love Mourinho to mint himself a Premier League winner's medal on that basis and then throw it into the crowd.
Could you imagine if Conte does win the double with Chelsea, then next season he doesn't win anything and gets sacked? Because that is what happens
to Ancelotti. Yeah. I think he's doing all right now, though.
Well, quite, yeah, but, it still seems ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does a bit, yeah.
Modern football, my friend.
There we are. Let's go to the Premier League. Liverpool are at home to Burnley. Klopp's clan at the moment are trying to hold Arsenal and Manchester United off that precious fourth spot that they currently occupy. Although, Manchester United, they look good for sixth for a bit longer.
Sort of frozen there.
My notes for this game just consist of nightmare game for Liverpool. It really is.
Yeah, I was wondering about this, because Liverpool are going to want to avenge their 2-0 from earlier in the season when they had 80% possession. and still lost, but it would be so typical of their season for them to sort of to lose it or sort of concede a late equaliser or something. And Burnley have to win an away game at some point, surely.
Maybe not.
Surely they're going to do it. Maybe not. But they're running out of away games.
Well, you say that, Marcus, but this game is tailor made for Liverpool to find it tough. Absolutely tailor made. Mm. They struggle to break teams down. They struggle against the break. Burnley are going to. Sean Dyche, I mean, for all his faults and all his vocal problems, isn't an idiot, and he will be able to set that team up against Liverpool in exactly the way that will frustrate them. The only thing that's working in Liverpool's favour is that they're at home. If Burnley were at home, I mean, knowing what we know now about them this season at home, you'd be back in Burnley all
the time. But now Burnley are a bit more of a decent team. Maybe Liverpool might have more of a chance because they seem to play well against the more fashionable sides.
Absolutely. When we're prepping for this show and I look at the teams and look at their run-in and look at the next few games I've got coming up, Liverpool, the only team in the league, for me, who you want them to be playing big teams. Mm. Because if they play teams that look like can frustrate them, I mean, that's the undoing of Liverpool over and over again.
Yeah, Burnley are on 31 points, comfortably above the relegation zone. But they've got to be a little bit careful. I don't think they get relegated, I'm not saying that, but they've gone five without a win. Mm. And as I say, they're comfortable. It would be crazy to think if Burnley get relegated at the end of the season. I don't think that's going to happen. They're too good for that on their form. But they've got to be careful that they just don't take their foot off the gas and just meander to a sort of disappointing finish and maybe only win one or two games now or a couple of games for the rest of the season.
I don't think they would do that, though. I think the spirit in that team is such that they work really, really hard. Their entire game is based on that, isn't it? So for them to do that, it would mean them completely changing the style that they've been playing all season.
No, I'm not saying they changed the style. I'm saying that they've gone five without a win. We've seen with West Brom, when they got to 40 points, and I'm not questioning them as individuals or as a team. I'm just saying that mentality, when you look at the table and you think, we've been pretty comfortable for a while, Burnley have been up in 10th at some point, top half, it would just be a shame for them if they just kind of sleepwalk their way to kind of 14th or something.
One thing that's hugely in favour for Liverpool is I think that Jordan Henderson's got at least a chance of coming back from his injury. so that, I mean, he's arguably, along with Mane, probably the most important player, outfield player Liverpool have. So that'll be a huge bonus for them.
Yeah. Also, if Liverpool win this game, they'll have won as many games as they did in the whole of last season. So they're having a strange old season, but that's certainly a sign of progress, isn't
it? That's very surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, after that fourth spot. Hull versus Swansea is a big one. I'm saying if the Swans win, they're safe.
I think that's probably fair. And I think a curious case of these two new managers, Paul Clement and Marco Silva, and I think what's happening quite a lot, possibly even on this show, is because they took over the job at a similar amount of time, and I guess had a similar profile as far as they were labelled sort of unproven, in quotes, what's actually been bracketed up is the fact that they're both doing a really good job. Yeah. Now, that's not actually true of Marco Silva.
No, it started well, didn't it? Yeah, but it has slipped.
But they're still deep in relegation trouble.
It's a bit of a mixed bag.
I think that, what are they? They're at least a few points from safety, possibly about four or five.
Yeah, they're 4 points from safety. Yeah.
And obviously, Paul Clement's Swansea have had a huge amount of positive results. And I agree with Mark. I think if they win this, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But Hull need to be really careful. They're not buying into that hype themselves.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Yeah, because I mean, they've already beaten Swansea twice this season, 2-0 on both occasions. But that was before the Clemaisons. So it might be different now. I wonder if actually, because their away form's terrible as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the Burnley story, how quite amazing that is, that's also going under the radar. And they, as you say, they're probably in a little bit more trouble than a team second from bottom, appear to be. Yeah, and they've... These teams have both conceded, I think, the most goals in the final 30 of
the
games.
I think they've conceded the most goals
season.
In total. Well, Swansea have conceded an awful lot more goals than you think.
But in the last half an hour, they tend to ship goals a bit. But Gylfi Sigurdsson is apparently having his best ever Premier League season. I think he's got 8 goals and 10 assists. So he's been involved in a lot of goals. That's intriguing to see. A lot of that, I would think, has been Clement's influence as well.
I saw him linked with Everton today.
Yeah, it makes sense. Maybe get a move to Spurs. Yeah, who knows?
They need Everton definitely need another sort of fairly attacking midfield player.
I think the reason why you're saying about Marco Silva is that he had some positive results in the cup.
Yeah.
In the league, I think he's won 8 points.
And also, everyone wants to stick it up this guy's boss position.
Yeah, that's definitely
part of the narrative for me, personally.
Yeah, go on, Luke.
I was just going to say, if you look at the situation Hull are in, to give it a bit of perspective, I mean, they've got 3 winnable home games in April, or games I would call winnable. They're at home to West Ham, Watford and Middlesbrough. If they win all of those and the Swansea game, they'll have 33 points, which really, I mean, that's probably not going to be enough to keep them in the Premier League. If you don't need 40 points these days, despite what everyone will tell you, but you need more than 33. I think 38 last season, 36 would have been enough the season before, and 34 the season before that. But I think that's a bit of an outlier. So, If they win this game at the weekend, then those 3 games I've listed, they'll have 33. They're still going to need points from somewhere. It's a big ask for them. Mm. Whether you like it or not, or now, however good you are or aren't, 3 teams have to get relegated in this league.
They do.
And they've also got Curtis Davis and I think Michael Dawson out as well.
Yeah, I don't see anything past Swansea for this game, personally.
Well, as I say, I think he's won 8 points in 7 games. And now, just looking at the table and working it out, that means that Hull won 13 points in 20 games previously. Mm. So he has done a better job.
Yeah, it's probably in, but not enough late. So far.
But I mean, when you take over that, it was very difficult.
But also, as we said at the time, I think that, you know, there's an eye on them getting relegated and him getting them back up. So
whether he would want to stick around.
He's not on a contract though, is he? I think his contract's to the end of the season. But Swansea have got 4 winnable home games left: West Brom, Stoke, Borough, and at a push Everton, depending on what Everton are going for, because it's quite late in the season.
Yeah.
And that could see. I mean, weirdly enough, Swansea are now like 6 points off the top half. Oh, they got 27 points, I think, and top half is 33 at the moment.
Yeah, Southampton in 10th and 33.
Yeah, they could actually push for a lot of higher finish than reasonably been expected, given the fact that they've had 3 managers this season.
Yeah. Well, if they win their next game and then West Brom lose, they'll be 10 points behind West Brom.
There you go.
You see? So it's all to play for. All to play for. Very. What's our bet of the week, old sport?
Let's fast forward to the bet of the week. Yeah, Sam Cooper, you are up and stepping into Ed Gibson's shoes, my man. Uh-huh. Ed Gibson was flummoxed by West Brom's terrible showing against Crystal Palace last time out, so he's out of there.
I feel partly responsible for that.
I don't want to be... I was going to be a bit harsher. I was going to say Ed is now dead to us.
No, I didn't say I regret feeling responsible for that. Sam, I'd like to kill him off.
Sam Cooper is now the sitting friend of the Ramble in the hot seat. He says, "Hi, Rambers, I would like to offer up my cheeks for the bet of the week hot seat." You can open an email like that, Sam, you're going to get chosen. I'm going for Borough and City to be a draw at half time and City to win in the second half at 11-4.
I like that. Very creative. That's nice. Very specific.
Yeah, miserly Middlesbrough at the back.
Draw at half time, City at full time. He thinks City may take some time to shake off their midweek fixture and could struggle with the early kickoff. So £50 on that at 11-4, win £187.50. All the best, Sam Cooper. So, and by the way, I should say also, thank you very much to every single person that emailed in suggesting a bet of the week. I can only pick one. I've picked Sam.
He's sure it's working out as well.
He has.
Yeah, I like that.
But if you didn't get picked this time, do keep trying, because obviously we're all, inevitably, when Sam loses, we're going to need another one. But we must, obviously, £50 that, all proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and for more information on responsible gambling, go to begamblerware.org. Please gamble responsibly.
Lovely. I'm annoyed they've changed their gamblerware.co.uk URL.
Begamblerware.org.
It's not as catchy for me.
It's a much better site, though. I checked it out. It's much slicker.
Luke, while you're there, let's look ahead to the weekend.
Yeah, looking ahead to the weekend. Don't forget, it's the Old Firm Derby this Sunday, which we touched on very briefly earlier. I quite fancy a record win for Celtic.
I do.
Do you? Well, you know what the record is?
I think they're going to go unbeaten in the whole season, and Rodgers will absolutely love it.
Love that.
And so he should love it. Yeah. I know that you can only be what's put in front of you, other cliches, but, you know,
he could be a legendary manager there.
If you're a part of if you're the part of Glasgow which has got a vested interest in this, the record currently stands at 7-1 to Celtic way back in 1957.
Wow.
I've heard a few rumours on the grapevine they might be gunning for it this season.
Is that right?
Yeah, keep an eye on that. I think it's on Sunday at midday, something like that.
Mind you, if Barcelona can put 7 past them, then they can put 7 past Rangers. <Yeah.
laughs> So let's look forward to the weekend with our listeners, who are, after all, the most important part of this. Ken Abelard. What are you laughing at?
That look you just gave us.
What? I don't think that's not an audio feature. Barcelona. Can we please hear from Ken Abelard, Pete? Or do you want to just carry on?
I'd rather hear from Peter.
Trying to reset your own...
Can I hear from George Ezra, please? Thank you. Right,
George Ezra says, my heart of the week is definitely not being featured on this show. Ken Abelard says, the BBC and other media outlets calling a team assembled for an amount of money equal to some country's debt, scoring a few goals, a miracle. Impressive, yes. Miracle, maybe a bit much. To which Adam Coton replied, saying, heaven forbid we should ever use metaphors in order to add more colour to descriptions of mere sport.
Well played, sir.
Tip the hat to you, Adam. Ben Wames, he says, on the Facebook Live Football Ramble earlier yesterday, that's Forza Ramble, which goes out every Wednesday on the Facebook page, I asked Jim and Marcus if Barcelona could do the unthinkable, to which Jim said, if anyone could do it, it's them. I followed this and I immediately bet £10 on them to qualify at 9-1. Hashtag Jim Stradamus.
Well done.
Can Jim get a little cut of that?
I'll invoice you, mate.
Take
it up
taste,
with him. Take it up with him, yeah. George Wick says, I'm going to watch Barnet v Crawley because I hate myself. Doesn't sound like a highlight or looking forward to the weekend to me, George.
George Wick sounds like John Wick's brother. He's not quite as angry. He's happy.
He walks into a room and a load of men just beat him up.
Which wouldn't be funny.
But Barnet are 14th in League 2 and Crawley are 16th in League 2, so it's not exactly a calamity. And trust me, I know, I support a League 2 team. And I've got this one from Jason Canham. He says, Pete, would you rather get headbutted by a naked Poulis or have to go on a full stag do with Alan Pardew?
Definitely the former.
I would go for the headbutt. Get over it.
I don't know. Get some quick stories out of the stag.
Weekend with Pardew.
I know, it would be hell at the time. Maybe 5 or 6 years, you'd have recovered enough to talk about it.
He'd insist on drinking everything out of a martini glass.
He'd be doing yards of martinis.
You guys are almost to the point here. If you go on the stag weekend with Pardew, you're probably going to get headbutted anyway.
True.
By a naked Tony Pulis. Pardew, he thinks he can headbutt, but that one on, what's his name?
David Myler.
David Myler was a head brush.
Isn't David Myler like a YouTube star as well, by the way? I think this might have gone under our radar, but I think he's got a huge amount of subscribers. It's very weird.
I don't know, a headbutt of Tony Pulis.
It's out of the way, though, isn't it?
Carry on, Luke.
Got the hospital, rhinoplasty, it's done.
Luke. No, Pete's not done. Go on, Pete.
What job are you wrecked?
Broken nose, do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he'd do a broken nose.
Who would? Poulis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give you a broken nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could.
And that's next week's YouTube video.
That's next month's Ravel special. Yeah.
Pete trolls to roll Poulis.
Yeah. Oh, this monthly special is only 30 seconds long. Just watch it. Anyway, Jason, next time we'd like you to look forward to the weekend, not doing a would you rather for Pete, but I thought I'd let that one slip through the net. But that's about it.
Well, there we are. Anything you're looking forward to, chaps?
I mentioned Xabi Alonso a little earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to his...
retirement? You love him that much,
No, but he's playing at home against Frankfurt at the weekend. I think that's going to be a nice kind of day for him. Nice day out.
Did you see the photo that he posted with his retirement? It was absolutely class. The man is class. It was like a black and white photo of him walking onto the training pitch with some Copa Mondiales in his hand, looking back over his shoulder.
Mm. Yeah. And I was
like, that man. What a man.
I'll tell you what. Except when he complains about... Beautiful game as well, didn't it?
Exactly, and he is the thinking man's Andrea Pirlo. If all these people who love Andrea Pirlo, look at Xavi Alonso.
I met Xavi Alonso very, very briefly once in the mix zone at the Bernabeu.
Here we go.
And did he dispossess you of anything?
of my belt.
Yeah.
And I was very taken with him.
I bet you were.
I really was. He in the flesh was even more glorious.
He let himself down once when he complained about the tax bracket he was in.
Did he?
Yeah, to Gordon Brown and a weak pound. So you're not going to track players. Well, pay your tax, mate.
To Gordon Brown?
Yeah.
Is this something that happened?
What kind of story?
The Chancellor.
What meeting of minds that is.
I know you're the Chancellor, Pete. I'm across that.
He went on to be the Prime Minister.
Why is Xabi Alonso talking to him?
I don't know. Talking at him, I suppose.
One of the most incredible...
Probably in the mix zone.
Yeah, and then Gordon Brown went off in a taxi and all you could hear was, get that Spanish playboy away from me.
Fascist.
Was this on Question Time? Was Alonso in the audience?
He won the Champions League in 2004 and 2015. 9 years apart. That's a big old gap.
2005.
Sorry, 2005 and 2014. That's a big old gap, isn't it?
Mm. He had a lovely old long career.
A lovely old long career.
Can you imagine Gordon Brown in the back of the car? Who was that? Just some sort of bigoted midfield player.
Some cultured footballer.
Some possessionless.
One of the most undoubtedly the most incredible moment of Xabi Alonso's career was when Rafa Benitez tried to move him on in favour of Gareth Barry.
Yeah,
which fell through anyway.
I know. Yeah. Oh god.
Right. The bad news is you can't get Gareth Barry. The worst news. Alonso now wants to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't Steven Gerrard, was it on social media or something, he posted something saying, every day you've gone, I missed you.
Yeah, he loves him. Gerrard loves him.
As you would do. If you were a forward player, you'd just... Oh, imagine having him behind you.
Wasn't he looking at going to Arsenal after that saga as well? But Wenger just sort of dithered. For
yeah.
What's the market value of him? Nah. No better than we've already got.
Which would have been, I think, Danielson at the time.
Speaking of
Wenger just looking at his chips going, nah.
I think history has proved him right.
Yeah, you can imagine Wenger around the old the table, couldn't you? Stick all to SDS, same. It's always the same.
Yeah. Can I drop?
Sorry,
when he's playing poker, drop every hand. Drop.
Yeah.
That last hand of blackjack there, you had 14.
Yeah.
I decided to stick.
Austin, you've got two aces there.
Yeah,
I'll stick.
It's not value on the market.
One thing that would really please cheer Arsenal fans at the moment is that that Arsenal Wenger contract deal still on the table, 2 years, and a new deal for Mesut Ozil been tabled, $280,000 a week. Mm-hmm.
So. Who's not trying very hard? Right, new deals all around.
Rolling in money.
I was enjoying the Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV having an argument with Gary Neville. Gary Neville's agreed to go on Arsenal Fan TV.
That was a while ago. You're Mr. Internet.
I saw a video that was like 2 years ago of Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV doing like a dancehall reggae song.
Why are you looking at old internet stuff now?
Because I've never seen him doing dancehall reggae song before.
For the benefit of the listeners, if we so much as mention a meme that's over a week out of date to you, you go mad.
Yeah,
a non-football related one.
Oh, come on, Pete. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Very good. Before we go, I just need to mention another Ramble favourite. Graham Wesley was fired from Newport today.
Yeah.
He's got a boy in the bath for less than that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah.
And we're not revelling in a man losing his job. Let's make that clear.
I am revelling in Graham Wesley losing his job.
My children call me P45 collector. Yeah.
What do his children call him?
Medal winner,
that's it, yeah.
Medal winner.
Hey, Jim, stick the boot in. Go on, he's lost his job, you're laughing.
I'm laughing. Jimmy actually said that. My kids don't call me dad, they call me medal winner.
That was his opening gambit.
I think I might have said that at the time. My mate Al made his little sisters, his three little sisters were about 4 years old, to call him Mr. Rockstar for about 3 years. Mr. Rockstar.
Pete, your kids call you Meme Watcher, don't they?
Nightcrawler, Meme Watcher.
There we are. That is the end of the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll be back, of course, on Monday for the Football Ramble. We'll see you then. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter. Barcelona.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.